Our president can make treaties with foreign nations. Fortunately, the Constitution provides that all such treaties must be approved with the advice and consent of the United States Senate, requiring 2/3 or 67 such senators to approve the treaty should it take effect in our great country. The president cannot unilaterally act when it comes to making treaties. And if in fact such a treaty is approved, it then becomes the supreme law of the land. Let me repeat that. If a treaty with a foreign nation is approved, it then becomes the supreme law of the land. It trumps the Constitution. In short, again, anything in our laws or our beloved Constitution becomes secondary. Anything becomes secondary to the terms and conditions of this treaty. Many believe no treaty, no matter how necessary, should trump the Constitution, as do I. What do you think? An incredible power of the president is the appointment of judges. That is so at all federal levels, but not the states. And that includes, and especially so, the appointment of nominees for the Supreme Court of the United States. Ah, what an awesome power that is. Those 9 judges are perhaps the most important and powerful people in America. One so nominated by the president must be approved by the Senate. But in almost every case, the judicial nominee is politically vetted and of a certain philosophy or political persuasion, including so-called conservative and liberal. All such judges are supposed to be objective and fair and constitutionally minded, when in fact, each comes with bias, political persuasion, and decision-making philosophies. There's no such thing as objectivity in any area of our judiciary. Laws and legislation are interpreted, affirmed, or denied, so often as a result of this personal philosophy, something which our early framers feared the most. 5 men and women can, in essence, decide what the Constitution means and whether or not, in fact, our laws are proposed or constitutional. 5 men and women. Unbelievable, isn't it? That indeed is a profound check and balance on democracy in virtually every way. Article 2, Section 3 of our beloved Constitution requires that our president, our true leader, take care that the laws be faithfully executed. Again, take care, Mr. President, that the laws be faithfully executed. So then, our final constitutional advice and requirement to our elected president is to take care. Take care, Mr. President. Take care of our beloved Constitution, our laws, and make certain, Mr. President, that the freedoms, the liberties, the great amendments, and the Bill of Rights to which we are entitled are fully effectuated and enforced in every way. Many think that President Barack Hussein Obama does not, in fact, enforce our laws or properly interpret and protect the values of our Constitution. Those sentiments were reflected in the great elections 2014, when Mr. Obama and his policies were soundly rejected. It seems obvious to many that the Obama administration has little interest in taking care that our laws are effectuated and enforced. But the American people have awakened and realized that it is they, we the people, who must make certain that our laws are enforced and our Constitution protected and defended, whether or not our president does. We the people must step up. It is our duty to make certain our beloved Constitution remains intact, in force, and fully effectuated for the protection of the freedoms we so richly enjoy. If Obama or any president will not take care, then we the people must be the caretakers. Our way of life, our entire culture and civilization depends upon that. It depends upon us, not him. And so we the people elect a president. We hope and pray for the best. To this point in our history, we elect a man and not a woman. But whether man or woman, whether black or white, or any color or ethnicity for that matter, it is our duty as a people to elect the best possible candidate to lead us. We the people are so often driven by emotion, by bias, undue influence, and the power of persuasion of others. even money, which drives political campaigns in volume and so often with the distortions of the facts, if not even downright lies, almost anything to achieve a political objective. Money can corrupt as well as inform. But we the people, if we are to survive, we must be informed. We must be aware and well-educated and elect the right candidate to lead us in 2016, and what a race that will be. To lead us, if we are to survive as a free society, a true democracy. If we are to survive. But sadly and so often we vote for a president because of personality. The more charismatic, the better. So often, likability determines our vote. Many, for example, liked Obama and his charismatic personality and his eloquence, and not that of Bob Dole, as one person termed him, sour and dour, or even John McCain, who ran against Obama, matter of fact and without charisma, resulting in so many voting for Obama in both elections. How unfortunate, even tragic, that is for the political process. But that is the case so often. Style, persona, Trump experience, philosophy, and the taking care, the ability of the taking care of our Constitution and our laws by the right presidential candidate, no matter his personality. Person and the personality trump the president and the presidency so very often, and we, the people, suffer. We need more than ever a leader with strong intellect. We need a president well-educated, steeped in our way of life and culture, a real, true American, understanding our values and history, and most importantly, well-versed in all things constitutional, knowing the Constitution. Our president must have been keen of mind, with a bent toward intellectual growth, constantly current with and understanding the complex world events which now unfold. That strong intellect must trump emotionality or personal bias. The greater the bias, the more a president is intent upon a personal agenda, the less effective the presidency, and the more inadequate our response to the world and these currently unfolding events, especially militarily or economically. The strongest of intellects must prevail in our president. Our president, our leader, must be strongly pro-American. The president must protect all that America has been and where it is now, and most importantly, the future, our future. We the people think our country is exceptional. We do. Don't you? I do. Different, even better in so many ways. We have a way of life with liberty and democracy, which exists nowhere else in the world. We think that fact alone is exceptional, and we ask our president to protect and defend that American exceptionalism, not to water it down, not to compromise it or equalize it with other nations, but to ask other nations and other peoples to rise up to the highest levels of freedom and democracy which our great country represents. Our current president denies that exceptionalism. Why? Why? And not only we the people suffer, but the world as well, if in fact the values of that exceptionalism are eroded. Perhaps that is one of the main reasons for the 2014 election's rebuke of President Barack Hussein Obama. We the people require our president to be a person of integrity, absolute integrity. We expect, we demand that our president be truthful. We the people expect the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Do you regard President Obama as truthful? We want facts, objectivity, and all such presented in a current and understandable way. Unfortunately, most Americans think that most politicians, whether president or Congress, are not truthful. They are rather men and women of the spin, the politically correct, the fact du jour, operating so often on the philosophy that the end justifies the means. Even the best, the most honest and forthright politicians often deny or forsake the truth, the whole truth, for the sake of political gain. The lie of any kind, especially at the top, the presidency, ought to have the highest level of accountability and, in a worst-case scenario, even impeachment. Our president cannot lie to us. But there is, in fact, little or no accountability for this president or any other, for that matter, or vice president, or the House of Representatives, or the Senate, or the departments and agencies of government. Virtually no accountability at all. You know what? Lois Lerner is still free and out there, not accountable for all the stuff she did at the IRS, just to name one. And that is a situation which can in such great measure be rectified by the President of the United States operating truthfully and with full and abiding integrity. Again, do you think President Obama does that? We really need that more than ever from Barack Hussein Obama. If, in fact, he can give us that kind of leadership, and even more importantly, for the man or woman we elect in 2016 to lead us anew, to be the new leader of we the people. The essential part of that presidential integrity is the oath, the solemn oath or affirmation that this president will, in fact, uphold the laws of our land and the Constitution. So many presidents, including this one, come to office without such full and sacred intention, determined to see our Constitution as flexible or organic, not etched in stone or guided by history, but capable of being interpreted and utilized as the expediency and current needs or desires of the administration may require. Wow, I don't buy that, do you? That, of course, is the end of the real meaning of the Constitution and the rule of law, and, of course, makes a mockery of the presidential oath or affirmation to uphold such. That presidential decision-making, that response and reaction for us, we the people, and for the world at large should be predictable. Values at work, so that what we stand for and our Constitution does, guides our every action. That will never happen unless we have a president with integrity at the deepest personal levels, now and in the future.